Bibles now, Nehemiah chapter number 4 this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 4, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, just a couple books before the book of Psalms. Nehemiah chapter number 4, we'll read responsively verses 6 through 11 this morning. I'll begin reading on verse number 6, you'll join me on verse 7. Read down to verse number 11, Nehemiah chapter number 4. Beginning in verse number 6. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4 in verse number 6, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We enjoyed our time of Sunday school this morning. We thank you for the reminder of our salvation. Lord, now we've come to the most important part of our service, the preaching of God's word. Lord, we're excited about the new year that's come upon us. We're excited about the new goals, the new desires that you've given to us to see your will accomplished in our life. Lord, we ask now that your hand will be upon the rest of this service. Allow our minds to remain focused. Keep the distractions to a minimum. Allow our pastor to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to Nehemiah chapter 4. I want to help you today. Of course, this is the new year, and thank God for it. I enjoy the new year. Some would call the new year a time of resolutions where you decide you're going to do something. Many of you will make it through tomorrow and then change it. You're going to start your diet tomorrow. You're going to exercise tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. But for some of you, it might be that you want to read through your Bible in a year. And some, for the first time, you've done that in the last year. And if not, that's fine. I think everybody ought to read through their Bible at least once a year in some point in time in their life. But I'd just rather you read it every day. Don't care if you get through it all or not. You say, well, preacher, I read it, but I just don't get much. It's kind of like taking a wicker basket to the creek. You can fill it with water. You might not hold all the water in, but guess what? You got a cleaner basket when you get done. And that's what it'll do to your brain. Now, I don't know about you, but and I know I'm wired a little different than some, and no comments there. But I don't know about you, but I want to get something done with my life. And the older I get, the more I realize the less time I have to get it done in. And that's a true statement. I'm 55 years old. I'll be 56 this coming year. And I'm not old yet. Shut up. But I'm, I could feel it. He hadn't said it yet, but I felt it working its way up. Amen? Now, wait a minute. But I realize I don't have 50 more years left. I realize I've been preaching for 42. I don't have another 42 years of preaching left. I realize I've been in the ministry full time for 33 years. If I stay in the ministry another 33 years, that puts me at about 89 years old. I probably don't have another 33 years left. I'm on the downhill side, not the uphill slide. And I don't know about you, but I want to make every day count. I want to make every moment count. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure any of us have the whole next year. Jesus may come back. What a blessing that would be. I'd like to leave this world, though, knowing I did my part to change eternity. I'd like to leave this world knowing I did my part to help get people closer to the Lord and see lives changed. Not that I changed them, but that they got changed through God. Just Thursday night, Brother Juan and I were at the mission. I was picking him up there. we had our monthly service there. I preached for about 20 minutes, and I started off by saying, "Fellas, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm not going to preach about the birth of Jesus." And they all started laughing, because I figured for the last 2 weeks, they all got the Christmas story. I preached a sermon, How to Make Your Best Better. I challenged them with 9 statements. I'm always going to give the gospel, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't preaching to see a whole bunch of people get saved. I was preaching to help a whole bunch of guys. Do you know that 10 men raised their hand and got saved that night? Isn't it amazing what God can do? Now, wait a minute. Just several years ago, Brother Juan was one of those people that lived there. And look what God's done with him. I wonder what Brother Juan was reached Thursday night. Say, why did you take time out to go do that? Because somebody there needs the gospel. Somebody needs a truth to change their life. Now, I'm not a hoarder. I don't like clutter. Now, if you look at my desk, you might not understand it. But I know what all those piles are. I know what stack what's in. I still use paper and a pen. Right there's my computer. When it breaks down, another 79 cents and I can get another one. Amen. Here we go. Now, wait a minute. I'm not a hoarder, but I just don't like clutter. I don't know about you, but before I go to bed at night, I make sure the dog's toys are off the floor and my toys are off the floor so that I don't get yelled at. And I just don't like clutter. I can put up with it for a while, but I don't like clutter. My basement is not cluttered usually. This is a good time of year to clean the clutter out. Now, that means your basement, your garage, your attic, or your life. This is a good time to throw out all the stuff that's not usable or unfixable and set it aside and sell it or just take it to the dump. I want you to notice something God says here, though. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4 again. God arrested my attention on one statement that I want to preach about today. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is much," what's the next word? Rubbish. Rubbish. Trash. "So that we are not able to build the wall." God says that there was so much trash, so much rubbish, that it was wearing the people down. And they weren't able to finish the job. Now, some of that is due to the pressure all that clutter and all that rubbish puts on you. The other part of it was it still needed to be removed in order to finish the job. The Jews had been in bondage for 70 years. They had been taken captive by Babylon 70 years prior to this. And they were being judged for not keeping 490 years worth of Sabbath years. And God took them all back after warning them for almost 500 years. That's what the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, all the rest of the books of the Old Testament are about. Those were the books of those saying, look, repent or God's going to bring judgment to Israel. And because they didn't, some of those books were written during that 70-year period. Or, like Nehemiah, it's written after that 70-year period and the rebuilding of Israel and Jerusalem. Nehemiah comes out of that 70-year judgment, and God has commissioned Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and put the wall up around the city of Jerusalem. It was a daunting task. Here are people who have been slaves for 70 years, and when Babylon went in 70 years prior to this, listen to this, the Bible says that they tore down the city to where there was not one stone left built upon another. Now, imagine a wall being built around the city of Martinsburg, so to speak, and 70 years ago, somebody knocking it down to where there wasn't one brick or one stone left whole upon another. And then it laid there for 70 years with nothing being done. They have to come back to that. They have to take from all of this rubbish and build up a new wall around the city of Jerusalem. Can you imagine how big of a task that was going to be? Now, they're back, they're building this wall, and as they're rebuilding it, the enemy comes. Anytime you do anything successful, you're going to face people bad talking you. Anytime you want to do something for God, there's going to be people trying to attack you, trust me. You're going to have old Aunt Gertrude that doesn't like the fact that you're going to church anymore. I don't know if you have an Aunt Gertrude, hopefully not, and if you do, I'm sorry. You're going to have that uncle, Festus, somebody that just going to cuss you out because you got religion. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You sat through that Christmas and this last couple of weeks. These people were come to discourage the Jews from rebuilding. Matter of fact, we read in verse 7, a man named Sanballat, a man named Tobiah, and the Arabians, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites. Those are the people who live in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, all conglomerating around Israel there, and they were trying to discourage the Jews from rebuilding. They wanted the wealth of the land. And they said, look, we'll try to destroy them. And they tried to discourage them. And they were pointing out how much trash needed to be taken out and how much needed to be rebuilt. Remember, they can't just reuse all that broken down old stuff. It's decayed. They need to get rid of the trash. This is my subtitle. I didn't use it as the title, but I thought it was funny. It adds new meaning to the phrase, what the trash? As we enter 2023, I wonder how many people sitting under the sound of my voice or who will listen to this online have a life full of trash that needs cleaned out. I wonder how many people sit under the sound of my voice and you're discouraged about some of the trash in your life. It's time for many in this room to get rid of the trash, to quit being so discouraged with life, so that we can build the wall, so that we can keep going. I'm proud of Brother James. 1 year ago today, Miss Lily went to heaven. Look where he's at. I texted him early this morning, and I was driving into work before 5 this morning, and I thought of him. I've been up since 4. First person I thought of and prayed for today was Brother James. Say why? His wife went to heaven a year ago today. As we rejoice in a new year, by the way, he's rejoicing in the new year. But his heart's heavy too. I understand it. It's time for many of us in this room to clean out the trash to get to the important parts of our life. The older I get, the more I find out what's important and what's not. Okay, I like sports. I really do. Matter of fact, there was a day I loved sports. I like college football. I like that Michigan lost yesterday. I was a little disappointed my Ohio State Buckeyes lost it in the last seconds. I went to bed at halftime. I watched the first half of the game. My wife said, "Are you staying up?" I said, "No, it's a stupid football game." Now, there was a day where I would have stayed up and watched all the way up to the last play. Say, why didn't you, preacher? Yeah. No, that was why you didn't. I'll be honest with you. Part of it is that, but the other part is this. I wanted to make sure I was strong enough mentally and physically to give you what you need today. That's more important to me than watching a stupid football game. Do you know the result of that football game doesn't change my life whether somebody wins or loses? Somebody's going to. But somebody getting help today hinges on me being strong enough and alert enough to be able to help you. That's far more important to me than a stupid game. I've realized there's more to life than a game. I've realized there's more to life than a paycheck. I've realized there's more to life than the things that we can gather around us. I don't want to be redundant, but as you sit with a man that's 56 dying, and he said, "Craig, there's so much I want to do yet." And I said, "How about you focus on what you've done? Now it's time to focus on the people that you love and let them know that you love them. And help them realize you're going to an eternity where they'll meet you if they're saved. And you'll be able to love them even more. Talk to him on the phone as I did Tuesday evening. So I had my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law on the phone, and Paul was crying, and he said, "I don't think I can handle chemo anymore." He said, "One treatment." I said, "Paul, then it's time for us to call hospice." He said, "But I don't want to give up. And God gave me something that was such a wonderful blessing, Brother James." I said, "Paul, you don't have to be the hero. You already are. It's time that we get to let the hero be comfortable while he goes to heaven." He said, "Is it okay?" I said, "It's fine." I'll be honest with you. That phone call's hard on me. My family was there. I had to come back out and smile. I had to come out and play games and get beat by my daughter-in-law. I had to be strong for them, but my heart was crushed. You know, when you get to that point in life, you find out what's important and what's not. How many things and how many cars and everything else, then they become a liability, not an asset. I can only imagine how many people are discouraged starting this year. Let me say a few things here. If you remove the trash, I'm not saying the pain will be less. But the trash will be gone and won't clutter your life so that you can focus on getting better. I'm not saying the battles will be over. But hauling it to the dump will make you a better warrior. Do you ever wonder why in the military they make you keep your uniform just so? They make you make your bed such a way and the discipline that's involved. General George S. Patton Jr. used to say this, "A sloppy soldier is going to be a dead soldier in the field." If you don't have the discipline and the self-preservation to make things right when nobody else is watching and for it to be exactly right, when it comes time to life-changing and life-taking decisions, you better be ready to listen without question. There's a reason that people have it all together. You're not going to accidentally fall into success. You're not going to slush yourself into success. You're going to succeed on purpose. You're not going to live at Sanford and Son Lane and have a mansion. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, I just dated myself on that. You younger people, it's an old TV show about a trash guy, all right? Recyclable. Before there was green people. How about we get our eyes off the trash and get our eyes on the job needing done? If we get rid of the trash, it won't discourage us. Let me give you just a few thoughts, and they'll be very quick. Number one, looking at the trash discouraged them. Looking at the trash discouraged them. Is that not what Nehemiah 4:10 says? The strength of the bearer of burdens is decayed, and there's much trash so that we are not able to build the wall. They were discouraged. Do you know why the garage or the basement or the shed or that closet or that room or your storage unit looks like it does? Because you're too discouraged, you start on it and think it's too big. I can't get through this. I'll just shut the door and keep piling stuff in. You look at it and say, it's insurmountable. You say, why? Because you're focused on the trash and not the important stuff. You're focused on what is there, not what could be done. I was with the Farleys a little bit yesterday, Brother Barnes and I, and I showed them a picture of this property 5 years ago when we bought it. Some of you were here. I remember virtually every person that was here 5, 6 years ago saying, "Preacher, you're going to put a church there? Have you seen?" Yeah, I saw. We got a 30-yard dumpster and put it right out here about where the shed is now, and we filled it with plastic and clay pots because this used to be a tree nursery. There must have been 200,000 plastic pots on the ground. I am not kidding. Brother Barnes and I took 70-ish tires to the dump. Various televisions and other things that only God knows what they were. That was just in the first load. I had men and boys jumping up and down on plastic pots to crush them down so we could put more in. They were everywhere. We had to clean the rubbish out so we could clear the property. Now look at it. Now look what God has done. You see, you saw the high grass and the overgrown trees and all the pots. I saw what God could do. I saw the work that needed to go into it. I had a picture of Brother Joe Heaney. He drove his tractor all the way over from Boonesboro. I'm not talking about he put it on the truck and brought it. He drove it from Boonesboro. And the grass was so high out here that, you know how high the tires are on a tractor? The grass was over top of the tractor tires. I mean, this place was a virtual, untamed forest. He'd start mowing and then hit rock. I thought, this is going to be ugly. Oh, man, it was bad. I remember I was trying to keep up with the grass around here. You know those little Toro riding mowers that you use at home for your little quarter acre lot? That's all we had to mow the grass with. It would take 8 hours to mow this grass out here. It was horrible. And half the time it didn't run, so you're pushing it. It was wonderful. But I promised God if he helped us get it, we'd keep it nice for him. Maybe our goal ought not to be to clean it all out in one day, but we take a little bit each day and clean. You see, you look at that basement or that garage or that shed and say, too much, can't do it all at one time, but you could do a little corner of it. And if you did a little bit each week, in the next 6 months to a year, it would be cleaned out. You'd say, no, I just take it from one side and throw it to the other. No, I mean you clean it out. Stuff that you haven't used since 1947, you probably aren't going to use again. I'll guarantee there's people in here, you have your first Atari stuffed in a box somewhere. You have computers that had those floppy drives that were that big, you know. The green screens and all the other, you know. Well, I might be able to use this one day. One day's come and gone and you can't use it. It wouldn't even run anything you have today. There are things that need thrown away in your life. May I say something? How about you just work at making progress a little at a time? I have jobs that... when you work with people, sometimes it takes decades before you see what you did today. It really does. I don't worry about seeing results. I concern myself with giving everything I have to the moment. And I may not get it all done today, but I'm going to do all I can today, and we'll pick up tomorrow and do a little bit more. Get a goal and clean those areas up. I'm talking about literally cleaning things up at home. Some of you all could give Sanford and Son a run for their money, probably. How about we look at the progress instead of the finished product? You know, if you took an hour a week, in 50 hours, you could clean just about anything up you have. Amen. 1 hour a week. Everybody in here has 1 hour a week to put towards that. Amen. I'll guarantee it. Sleep one less hour, Amen. If nothing else. But most of you spend more than that just playing games. Ouch. Moving on. You don't have to clean it up all at one time. By the way, you don't clean somebody's life up all at one time. As we get new people into our church, some of you holier-than-thou people that think you're hot snot on a silver platter and God thinks you're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Amen. You think you've arrived. Well, you just proved you haven't. There's going to be people come into our church, they don't know how to talk right. Remember, I baptized a guy one time, the baptistry heater didn't work, and it was cold. And he talked about God, but not the same way I did. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. He said, mm-mm, and I wouldn't. I've been there. It was cold. Yeah, it was cold. I was cold too. I was standing in it with him. But I didn't say what he said, but I love new converts. Everybody doing all right? You say, preacher, was that me? If you have to ask that, no. How about we learn to focus on what can be done? Some of you need to clean up the trash in your finances. Ouch. I'm going to tell you something. Buying on credit, you're going to watch your credit card interest rates go skyrocketing, and some of you are going to be in trouble because you've maxed everything out. Well, I'll just borrow against my house. Yeah, and your interest rate's going to double or triple. Everybody doing okay? All of us need to work on our health some. Now, I'm not like Brother Roloff and believe you eat tree bark and drink swamp water. God bless him. He did. He died in a plane crash. But I know this, we all need to work on our health. We could be healthier. Some have harder work to do. That's all right. Some, you're doing it. Great. I plan on working on mine some. I plan to pastor this church and preach the gospel till I can't move anymore and go to heaven. I don't plan on retiring. I plan on retreading. But I got to work on it. At 55, it's not as easy as it was when it was 25 or 35 or even 45. There's projects that you have that you need to get done. Some of you have so many undone projects, no wonder you're so grumpy. Some of you just need to throw the project away with the trash and get rid of it. Well, I'm going to get it done one of these years, and you've had it for 17 years sitting there. Wrong answer. Some of you say, oh, well, preacher, I'm going to work on being spiritual this year, then work on being spiritual today. Amen. And then tomorrow work on it again. And the next day work on it again. Let's get the trash out of our life. Some of us need to use our stubbornness to our advantage. Amen. It's time some of you use that stubbornness against yourself. Ouch. Need to decide you're not going to let what happens in life dictate what you do, but you're going to happen to life, not let life happen to you.
Amen.
Number two, I've got to hurry. The only way to fix it is to go to work on it.
Amen.
You may be discouraged by the amount of it, but the only way to fix it is to go to work on it. I said this the other night at the mission, I think. You know the only way to eat an elephant? Is one bite at a time. Until you start chewing, you're not going to get there. Verse 15 says this, "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work." They got done crying about being discouraged, and they said, "It's time to go back to work."
Amen.
Until you start working on it, it's just going to sit there and get worse. You can sit there and mumble and cry and complain, or get up and cry and complain and start working on it. I don't know about you, but I don't sit and cry and complain very well. Nothing gets done. There are some things that are broken beyond repair. Get rid of it. Well, it has sentimental value. When you die, nobody else is going to take it. Throw it away. I realize there are some things that are worth keeping that are sentimental, but it's amazing to me how many things we keep thinking somebody else is going to think it's as important as we do. There's a reason the antique stores are full of stuff that are worthless.
Amen.
Now, there are some things that are important to people. I get it. I'm going to get in trouble if I go any farther with that. You know, don't fret or regret it. Go on. Well, this was my grandmother's bowl and it got cracked. Okay. If it's cracked beyond repair, throw it away.
Amen.
Grandma's gone anyway.
Amen.
But it's not going to change life. Well, this is how I remember. Well, draw a picture of her. Do something. I'm not trying to be unkind, but there's so much rubbish that we keep that's worthless. Man, I wonder how many electrical tools and broken tools you have laying around. I could use that one day. Yeah, right. I got some new tools for Christmas. Guess what I did? I went through all my tools. I have a big box that's going in the trash this week. My dad about had a heart attack. You're throwing tools away? Dad, the ones I have, not even you want to use. I said, have you run? Yeah, you're right. You go ahead and throw those away. You see, well, but I might be, if you haven't used it in the last 2 years, throw it away. Get rid of it. Sell it. Do something. You see, if it's usable, then use it. If it's usable and you don't use it, sell it or give it away. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
There's only one thing that's going to change that pile of rubbish. W-O-R-K. work.
Amen.
You can plan and intend to do it all you want. But until you get up off the couch or off your recliner and do something about it, it's not going to change. Don't let sentimental things keep you from cleaning the trash out of your life. Number three. This is a point that you don't want to hear. You didn't want the other two either. I get it, but this one's really going to hurt. The battle's not going to stop while you take the trash out. Verse 17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded every one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. In other words, they kept the pistol handy while they were working.
Amen.
Because the opposition was coming. You're going to need to continue to battle in life while you clean the trash up. Did you know they're not going to stop your mortgage just because you have to clean out the shed or the garage? Your enemy doesn't care whether you're taking trash out or not. Your enemy doesn't care that your job is so big that you don't know how you're going to get it done. Matter of fact, they're counting on it so they can whip the snot out of you. Don't be discouraged that the battle continues. Expect it.
Amen.
Do you know I expect battles in my life? I don't know what battle it's going to be, but I know it's coming. I don't always know from where the attack is going to come. I just know there's one coming. So when it comes, I'm not, oh, there's a battle. Yeah, I knew it was coming. It amazes me how weirded out people get because something's, I believe in schedule. But I plan in my schedule unplanned things. It's going to happen. The phone's going to ring. I put in my schedule, and I'm a regimented person, trust me. But when my regimentation get mixed up a little bit, I'm okay because I expected it to, because I knew there's going to be battles or problems. I'm not so weirded out, I can't make it happen. The enemy is not going to wait for you to fix your weapon before they fire at you. Hold on, I got a gun jam here. Can I get this fixed before we start shooting at each other again? No, ain't going to happen that way. Well, it just seems like the battle's not going to stop. Do you think the enemy wants to stop? There's only one way you're going to get the enemy to stop, and that's to beat the snot out of him.
Amen.
The more rubbish you clean out of your life, the better chance you have of defeating the enemy, though. And that's a true statement. I got to finish. What trash is holding you back? What problems have caused you to quit battling? What things are consuming more time than your walk with God or your family? What do you need to clean up in your life? I wrote these down, so don't get mad at me. Video games, social media, sinful practices, bitterness, discouragement, unfaithfulness, wrong movies or books, pride, self-righteousness. I wonder what we need to clean out of our life today. Some of you in this room are bitter with yourself. You have never forgiven yourself for something in the past. How about you clean the trash out? Some of you have thwarted all of your successes or a good part of it because you've never gotten over something. Time to get over it. I say this with all sincerity. I get sick and tired of people talking about the slavery issue from 160 years ago, and it's our fault. I hate to disappoint you. It ain't my fault. It ain't your fault. It's over. Let's quit bringing up the past.
Amen.
Let's move forward with the future.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, anybody that knows me knows I'm not against anybody's skin color. I'm not against anybody. I don't base anything on skin color. Good night. I'm so colorblind, I don't even know what color I am. But what trash in your life needs cleaned out? I don't know what needs cleaned out in your life or your family's life, but I will tell you this. There are some you need to clean it out. You're just like those Jews that are discouraged by the pile of rubbish. They don't feel like you can get your work done. Then let's clean up the rubbish to get the work done.
Amen.
And let's go forward. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I've trusted Jesus as my Savior that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Most every hand, not every, but most. You may put them down.